Hello, and welcome to Blossom Buddies, and welcome to a very special episode of Blossom Buddies.
Oh boy, it sure is, Jason. Let me tell you, this episode is zany.
Nope, not zany at all. It takes a real turn in the second half. I'll just say that, how many episodes of Blossom Buddies are we in? And how many times...
Seven or something?
How many times have we told people... Oh man, Blossom is so gritty and realistic, and every episode's like a after school special.
Definitely not 107, because we gave up on that idea after like the second season.
Yeah, up till now, there's been maybe 20 that have been like, oh, this had a real message.
There was the gun episode, and actually, this episode features scenes in the same place where like the gun episode took place. So yeah. You know it's serious, because that's, I guess, where Blossom has its serious school conversations.
That's true, but this episode is the heaviest episode of Blossom to date.
It has to be the heaviest one ever, because there's only five left after this. I can't imagine they're going to squeeze like any more in after.
Unless in the next episode she gets full on like beaten and R-worded. Yeah.
That's not funny. Don't laugh, Craig.
It's just funny because I said R-worded. Because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to set a precedent of being able to say words like that on this show that's only got six episodes left.
Yeah, and six listeners.
But this is insanity. This episode came out of left field. It starts off very like, I thought we were going into another ho-hum. Blossom's going on a date. The family's going to be at home doing shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. This episode is called The Date. So yeah. It's understandable why we would think that right off the bat. It's like The Date. It's not a date. It's The Date.
It's a date she'll never forget.
It's true. She never did, because she only existed for six more episodes.
It's true. But this is season 5, episode 17 as well. We, like I said, we have six episodes to go.
Yeah, including this one.
I think that off camera, what I'll say to you is I'd like to do a final episode and then like a post-mortem. So maybe we have seven episodes to go total.
Sure. You just said that on camera, but all right.
Well, I'm letting everybody know. If you said fuck no, then I'd be like, well, forget that idea. But you seem open to it. So
yeah, by this point, like I don't edit anything out unless it's real bad. So I mean, this is staying in regardless of what I said.
The R word.
Yeah, we could do like a post. Yes, the R word. Pick whatever R word you want.
Just random.
Random.
I think what we do random is we take a week off, or maybe even not, go back through, just read through the synopses of the episodes and kind of pick our top five and talk about them. I think that would be
or maybe like a postpartum or postmortem.
Postmortem. Maybe top three episodes. And do like a full hour. And that'll be the end cap of the Blossom Buddies experiment.
I think it's a failed experiment.
But it's a failed experiment. On the final episode. Yeah, we'll talk all about that. That'll be part of the final episode, and in the series finale, we'll talk about that. Also, we've got some special guests lined up for the series finale. Hopefully.
Oh yeah, that's true.
We've teased these people coming on many times
since the very beginning. Probably since
the very beginning.
We're going to have guests for the first time since at least the second season. I'm not sure if we have a guest in the second season, or does it?
It was right
the first season.
It was right towards the end of the year that we had a few people on. And I think it was during the second season.
Yeah. Anyway. We're also aiming to do it in person.
Yeah.
We haven't done that in person. We've seen each other in person once or twice recently.
We've seen each other during the pandemic. Once. We've seen each other in person three times, once in a park, once at your house, and once at my place.
But we haven't recorded in person in like a year and a half.
No, not since not since before you had your baby.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we might have done one or two after I had the baby, I think, when the baby
the pandemic hit almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we digress.
That's a little bit of a little bit of show notes there for you.
Yeah, so we start out the episode and Blossom are six in the school hallway, and Six is going on and on about how she's gonna be home alone this weekend. And
hold your thought first for one more second. I just want to get in that this was written and directed by Alan Katz, but he's done other episodes, so I'm sure we've talked about
he has executive produced like 22 episodes, so he's a Blossom veteran, but this is the only episode he wrote and directed.
Oh, I see. Okay, let's give him 2 minutes of time here. He's been a writer on Like nothing. Like he's written an episode of Roseanne, an episode of MASH. He's
more of a producer. He like produced MASH for like 3 years. Produced a whole bunch of Roseanne.
I posited while we were watching that like they're running out of people to like write and produce at this point. I also want to point out that he wrote Joey particularly stupid in this, like too.
Oh my god, Joey was funny. Relentless.
Like, he was relentlessly dumb and didn't like almost autistically. Like
autistic. Joey's with his story arc went from like, oh, there's that stupid thing Joey does all the time, to hey, like Joey's pretty funny this episode, to holy shit, will Joey just show up?
That I just want to finish my thought, like, so it doesn't sorry, sound like I've changed out the another R word for autism, but he doesn't understand any like human like interaction cues. Like he doesn't understand rhetorical questions.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll put those jokes in, but in this he has no social skills, which I thought was a really interesting.
That was touch. Joey's whole story arc. He was in like this the second scene and just sleeping like relentless. Every time somebody said something, it was like, yep, Joey's dumb. Got it. Okay, Joey's still really dumb. Got it. Is Joey still dumb? Thank God they let us know that Joey is still dumb.
Yeah.
Joey could have been a great Joey episode if they had just laid off, if they had pulled back like 50% on the Joey. He would have been great, but then they drove Joey into the ground. Maybe that was the point. Maybe they're like, only six episodes left of the show. I'm gonna and the Alan, what's his name? Alan
Katz.
He was just like, you know what? This is my one shot.
I'm writing Joey as dumb as humanly possible.
Yeah, I'm not pulling any punches on Joey.
I'm getting a Joey spinoff where he's stupid.
Well, this episode was the Joey spinoff.
This is the backdoor pilot for stupid. Their show.
Maybe Alan Katz. Maybe Alan Katz was gonna get a Joey spinoff, and they canceled that. And he's like, "Well, fuck that! I'm just gonna cram all my Joey jokes into this."
I'm gonna ruin the Joey character. In fact, so sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you were talking about six.
Oh yeah, so six is freaking out because I mean the Blossom and Six are they got to be 17 by this point, right? 17 or 18?
Yeah, I think they're seniors.
Yeah, they're graduating, right? Like yeah, they got to be around 18. Six is freaking out because she's being left home alone for the first time ever this weekend. Let's remember she has no siblings and one parent. Like, so are you telling me Six's mom all this time since like they got divorced like 5 years ago, Six's mom has like never left
the house? It's highly improbable.
Highly improbable. And Six is freaking out. She's like, I don't know. She convinces Blossom. She's like, listen, you gotta let me come over Saturday night because I can't be home alone.
Does Six's mom never go out for the evening?
That's what I'm wondering. By the way, I forgot to hit record. I'm gonna need you to send me the audio file.
Okay, no problem.
FYI.
When you said I forgot to hit record, I was like, oh fuck, do we have to like start over?
But no, then Jason's recording. One of us has their head together.
Yeah. Hey, that never happened in the whole history of our show. We lost one episode and had to redo it, and we redid one episode because we wanted to.
Yeah.
But that's it.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. When we were going to make an honest push, so we re-recorded the pilot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because we were like, well, this was our first time doing that. Let's try that again after we've got some experience.
Yeah.
And that made all the difference. We could be sitting with five listeners right now, Jason, but instead we've got six.
Well, it's crazy because like I've taken everything I know from this podcast over to my other show. Hey, did you see this one? And that's the name of it. And you can find it on Instagram. And I've learned a lot from this, which is good. And doing it live, like we tried to do that one live and we got more viewers in that one live instance than we ever had. I think there's something to the live thing. So
there's something to that. We'll talk about that in, let's see, about 12, 13 minutes.
It's not going to take much more to get through this episode because like four things happen.
It's like the gun one. There's nothing that happens. Like yeah, it's just like there's focus, the one story point. There's really no B or C story.
Yeah, they focus on the very special episode element.
Yeah. So anyway, so after Blossom has agreed that Six can sleep over on Saturday night, Six pulls out her package of Ding Dong and and Blossom's like, well, you got to give me some of that if you're sleeping over at my house. And Six is like, I'll take the ding. And Blossom goes, I'll take the dong. And then pause. And then wait, what did I just say?
What did I just say? Something that I noticed in this scene too, that I can't believe that they made reference to that joke. But also, Six sleeps over at Blossom's all the fucking time.
Constantly.
And Six is like, hey, I'm home alone. We could, you know, you could come over and we could play Yahtzee and Monopoly and watch videos. And Blossom's like, hard pass.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you
like, they're not friends anymore. I wonder if they had a conversation like off camera that's just like, listen, we're both adults now. It's time to put a stop to the slumber parties.
I didn't stop having sleepovers till I was like 29, if I'm being honest.
I mean, to be fair,
at a certain point, they slept over at your house during the pandemic.
Yeah. But it's become more like we have to drive somewhere and we're gonna drink, so sleep here instead of driving, kind of thing. Like, that's not so much slumber parties as like, don't drive home until tomorrow morning.
That's true. My friend Ben, he lived in Oakville, and it was like I would take the train out there and stay overnight.
Yeah, because the last train leaves Oakville at like 11:30. So
yeah, and we're like just starting drinking by 11:30.
Exactly. You took the last train into Oakville.
Yeah. Probably got there at like 7.
Yeah.
I also noted.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I also noted in this that Jenna Von Oy seems to be really putting in work acting, because I think she knows that once this is over, she has no work. I think after this, she's in an episode of Seventh Heaven. We've probably talked about this before. Yeah,
we definitely did.
And that's it. And she doesn't get another show until
like 3 years ago. Like, I think when we started this podcast, it was like, oh, like Jenna Von Oy is like, got some new family-oriented show that lasted.
I don't even think it was a show. I think
she wrote
a book. I think it's a book.
No, she's in something. I mean, I'm not gonna, we can discuss that on like our wrap-up episode, but she's definitely in something. True. Within the last 10 years. Anyway, then guess who shows up to flirt with and ask Blossom out? But Jimmy Marsden.
Cyclops himself.
That's right. Liz Lemon's ultimate boyfriend at the end of 30 Rock. Good God, Lemon. And he just always looks 30. He looks 30 here. He looks 30 in whatever he's in now. I know I've seen him in something recently. His biggest recent role
was Sonic the Hedgehog. He's the guy.
Yeah, but
Sonic,
I think a TV Hedgehog. Show. I think I've seen him in like a TV
show. Oh, The Stand. He's on The Stand.
It. Yep, at The Stand. And he looks the same. He looks the same now, 30 years later.
Yeah. He's a good-looking guy.
Good-looking guy.
I think he's got that Nicolas Cage anti-aging serum, though.
You know what? I want to, when we're done this, I want to go upstairs and watch Con Air.
I want to watch Assault on Precinct 99 starring Vince Vaughn, just because he's apparently good in that. It's in the same kind of vein as, you'd think Nicolas Cage would play that role.
Yeah, it's so weird when you see Vince Vaughn in the rare serious piece. Like, he was in the terrible remake of Psycho, and he was in The Cell with J-Lo, which is
I watched that recently, though, and he's just fucking cracking wise the whole time. He's like the comic relief in that.
He's not good. Okay, so he's not good in it, but man, that movie's good.
He's like trying to be serious, but he's like, I was just in Maid, so I'm
gonna... But he can't, yeah, he's trying to be serious, but it would be like if you put me in a serious movie, I'd be like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, you guys know we're making a drama here? What the hell?
I thought this was Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Anyway, James Marsden, we find out later his name is Josh, asks Blossom out, and then like he's like infatuated with her, and she's like, yeah, well, I'll give you my address, you can pick me up. He's like, 362 Longview Crescent. I memorized it. Like,
oh, yeah.
And then Blossom's like, I'm impressed. I'm like, what the like, where did he memorize this from?
We should have known what was coming from this interaction.
Yeah, I mean, I did know what was coming because I looked ahead a few weeks ago. So I've been ready for this episode.
Oh, nice.
But it's weird, like, I don't, unless we missed something, like maybe he was responsible for putting together the school's emergency contact list, then it wouldn't be so creepy. I mean, it would be creepy that he remembered her address, but
I mean, he could just written it down, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Very strange man. And he, yep, continues being creepy. Then we get what seems like it's maybe going to be a B-plot. We get Kennedy, Nick, and Carol in the kitchen, and they decide they're going to rent a video tonight. And then Joey comes in, and he's hungry. And Blossom is trying on outfits.
We always joke about how Kennedy is very precocious.
Yeah.
And Nick references this directly by saying, are you a kid or are you a tiny adult? And then Carol's like, we saw What to Do About Nothing in a theater. And then Kennedy's in like in a theater performance back in London. And then Kennedy's like, that was when I was a kid. So,
they directly point that out. And that's really all there is to like whatever anyone else is doing in this episode.
Yeah.
Six is still sleeping over despite Blossom going out because she's so scared of being in a house by herself.
We talked about Joey being an idiot too. He just answers a bunch of rhetorical questions earnestly. And it's just following people around. Like whenever a question, somebody was like, whenever somebody asks a question, have Joey answer with the dumbest thing possible. Mm-hmm. That's like, I think Joey was just improvising at that point.
He could have been. And if it was him just improvising, then that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, they just told him to go and he did. So then Six shows up and she's still going to sleep over. I thought something was going to happen with Joey and Six, but the main plot took up all the spare space.
Yeah, exactly.
So then Josh showed, then I wrote down, what's the deal with Joey? but we've already talked about that, how his character just goes right off the rails in this one scene that he's in. Then also, James Marsden shows up.
When Six showed up, she says to Nick, you know, I want to be here when Blossom gets home and I want her to, you know, share all the face sucking details with me. And Nick's like, you know, that's my daughter, right?
And she's just like, yeah, it's my best friend, right?
Yeah, it's my best friend. Don't you even know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, then Nick does the thing where he just kind of like looks at her and walks away, which he does again with Joey, I think, later.
He did that. Well, he did that to Joey before because there was this really weird scene. This might be later, but I just want to say it now because it's on the tip of my brain. But Joey's like, you guys keep calling me Joe. And, you know, I think you guys are like, you know, pretending I'm stupid or something because you only, you know, I looked, you know, you guys call me Joe when you're treating me like I'm stupid. And I looked in the mirror this morning and I said, Joe, you're not an idiot. And yeah. Then Nick looks at him like, what are you talking about again? And just,
he doesn't say anything. He just leaves the house. Like, I think he was on his way to rent the video, but yeah, just looks at him, walks out the door. Good comedy by Ted Wass.
Ted Wass is.
And then we cut to Blossom and Josh's date, and they are the movie's over. I guess they went to a movie. They are parked at the top of Mulholland Drive, and they make out a little bit. And then he doesn't want to stop making it. He wants to go to the back seat, and Blossom says no, and he doesn't let up. And then what happens?
Well, he continues to not let up, and then he starts saying that, you know, hey, you got me all wound up. You got me all up here. You're an attractive girl. I'm going to do this whether you like it or not, basically. Yeah,
pretty much.
And then he goes in and kisses her again after. This is like the third time of her pushing him off and being like, no, it's cool. Like, let's just hang out and have a good time.
But she's like, she gets serious. She's like, no, I told you no, get off me. Like, she's yelling. And then he hits her, I guess. Like, neither of us saw it happen. Well, but like, she relieves the car and runs away, like holding her face.
What happened was, I think he was in for the kiss that she didn't want and she was pulling away and he was trying to like, and then he just gave her a little rabbit punch. And I think I liked it. Like, I know it's bullshit. I'd like to give the situation the benefit of the doubt. But when you see her later, she's got a fucking like shiner. Full black eye.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's like, I don't know if he's necessarily violent, but he did. It,
like, he didn't wind up or anything.
No.
He did. At the time you were like, did he headbutt her? Which seems more reasonable, except like then this episode. Like, then it would literally be an accident and this episode would make less sense.
I think that he, out of frustration, he's got anger management issues and out of frustration, he punched her and not, and I don't, you know, I think it's one of those like riled up, like jockey douchebag. I'm not getting what I want. Temper tantrum punches, which makes it so much worse. Yep. And then this episode goes full on after school. It's like full on, no more jokes. There's one more joke when we cut to the kitchen. They're joking around about French toast because Carol's made French toast for everyone.
I didn't get this. Like, I know that this is not the point of the episode, but yeah, it's breakfast next. Well, sorry, before that, Blossom like runs all the way home from hills.
Yeah, she gets out of the car and runs. Like, he punches her, like gives her a little rabbit punch, and then she like struggles to get away and then runs.
And she did run all the way home because she got home super late. Like, Joey fell asleep watching like the Weather Network on the couch and she sneaks past him with some ice on her face, and Six is asleep in Blossom's room. She's just like, oh, I don't want to talk about it, we'll talk about it tomorrow. So then we cut to breakfast. Carol's feeding like Six and Kennedy French toast, and Carol's like, nobody's leaving the house until all the French toast is eaten. And then Kennedy feeds all her French toast to the dog. Like what kid doesn't like French toast?
This was also off-putting for me because like, I know it's just to fill time, but now is not the time to make any jokes.
Yeah, it's like, can we deal with like the elephant man?
In fact, I think this episode was filmed in the correct sequence because the audience didn't really react to anything that was happening.
Yeah, there was no laugh track to her feeding the French toast to the dog, right?
Or it was very muted. Like, it wasn't like, ah, ha, ha, like it would normally be.
Because it's a dog.
Yeah.
And the dog's whole shtick is, I'm a dog.
Yeah.
Look at me, I'm a dog.
It was like sensible chuckle. And then, you know, I think they might
have gone. Nick comes in and he's like, oh, like, where's Blossom? And Six says like, oh, she's not feeling well. So Nick brings Blossom her breakfast to her room. Ends up seeing the thing on her face. Blossom tries to hide it in like sitcom hilarious way, just like, oh, I'm gonna lie in my bed with my arm up over
her arm up, like, yeah, like barely, like
nobody ever sits ever. But then Nick's like, come on, just get out of bed. And then he sees the thing, and Blossom tells her it was an accident, and then, which is like kind of a waste of time, because literally we then cut to the next scene and she comes in and she's like, I lied, it wasn't an accident.
But it was a good, like, this, the ending scene was really good, because it was her confessing this thing to Nick. Nick's like,
oh, the acting was great. Like, Maya Bialik knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Ted Wass too, because Nick's like, I'm going to kill him. And she's like, she's like almost crying. Like, I let him on. Like, I did this. This is my fault. And Nick, Ted Wass and Nick, like, both a good character and a good actor, can console her in a way that's like, no, you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. He's in the wrong for fucking, you know.
No, they nailed the scene, except too aggressive. I think it was too fast, because Blossom went through the entirety of like self-blaming in these situations in like 30 seconds. It was almost like she was reading off a list. She was like, I dressed a certain way because I wanted to turn him on, and then I let him on, and then like I kissed him. But like, she just like almost like just listed everything that like self-blame or victim blaming could be. Like, I would have liked to see that scene a little bit longer, which is not Mayim Bialik's fault. Like, she still acted the shit out of it. It just would have been nice if the pacing could have been a bit.
Well, that's why I brought up the fact that there was that weird scene with breakfast. They didn't need to put any jokes in there. They could have just been like, here is breakfast. Now I will go talk to, like, Six could have been like, I'm going to bring breakfast.
And yeah, I wonder if it, like, is it contractual obligation? We have to see Carol, Kennedy, and Six one more time. Like, I don't know. It was weird that was there.
Yeah, because you're right. The transition from her telling Nick nothing's wrong. She actually tells Nick she fell while they were walking. And Nick's very much like, did you guys have a good date? Anyway, aside, and she's like, besides the boo-boo, it was a good date, which means that Blossom in that moment was having a good time with Josh. Like, she just wasn't willing to fucking literally have sex on the first date, and he got way too handsy and way too aggressive, and then hit her.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to the in the car scene, like, that I didn't like that scene because it seemed unrealistic. Like, I mean, maybe not. I mean, I've never been in that scenario, but it just seemed like they're having a casual conversation and he just kept being, come on, let's get in the back seat. Oh, we've used up all the air in the front. So like, it seemed like like the acting on his part was forced.
Well,
he did a great job.
It was the speed up of time sitcom trope, I think. And also everything that he said from a certain point on got progressively weirder. Like, when he was like, why don't we play Flintstones and I'll drag you by the hair into the back seat where we'll have a good time. That was
weird. Like,
and she's like,
he was, I don't, like, threatening.
Like, she was still like joking around about it too. She's like, well, I don't like to have my hair dragged. They were almost like singing like a duet to each other, which was kind of an interesting bit of acting from the two of them, which I was kind of like, this is kind of like a call and response, like, duet moment. But I could read the writing on the wall almost immediately. I knew something really terrible was going to happen.
Yeah, like, the serious parts of this episode would have been so much better if they just cut down or cut out like all the Joey crap and like the French toast scene. Like, the rest of the episode could have been much better paced.
Like, no more comedy after he hits her. No more jokes.
No. Yeah.
So anyway, that's pretty much it. They go. Yeah, they meet up in school.
Yeah, at the same alcove where Blossom confronted the dude with the gun a season ago. Josh acts all casual and he's like, oh shit, did I do that? Like, he doesn't believe he caused the bruise on her face. But then he starts threatening her. He's like, oh, what are you going to do? Report it? Like, no one's going to believe you. I've got a ton of friends who are willing to say that, like, you're flirting with all of them or whatever. And then Blossom's like, I'm out of here. And he goes, where are you going? She goes, to the police. And credits.
Yeah. And but I like his bit of acting here because he's just defeated. Like, he has no, because he keeps being like, it's our word against yours. Like, what are you going to do, in like a very intimidating way? And she's like, I don't give a fuck about my reputation. I'm goddamn Blossom. You're going to jail for that.
Goddamn Blossom.
I'm goddamn Blossom. But yeah,
you don't know me, but I'm goddamn Blossom.
Straight up credits. But then we get a full on the PSA. First time ever PSA where Blossom's like, if something
is it the first time ever? I feel like it might have happened before, like not as serious, obviously, but I think, or maybe I'm just thinking of that, like the flashback episode, because there wasn't that when Blossom, they all talked straight to the camera. They were just like, my favorite episode was the behind the scenes, behind the music episode.
No, I think
that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, I think this is the only time, you're right, that they've done the straight to the camera.
I feel PSA. Like we would have remembered if there was a, like, if you're dating
I was totally a 40-year-old
and you're 16, stop dating that 40-year-old.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Are we sure they didn't do that when Six was dating a 40-year-old?
They break up and he goes to prison, and then he gets out of prison and he's dating.
They should have. They definitely should have for that. Like, they did not treat that with the seriousness.
If you're dating somebody that's 20 years older than you, call the police.
Are you dating David Schwimmer? If so, tell somebody.
I know you don't want to tell anybody you're dating David Schwimmer.
I know it's hard and it's embarrassing. And you don't think anyone will believe you.
Yeah. No, everybody will believe you, but you don't want people to believe you. Anyway, that was probably the most intense episode of Blossom to date. And I wish this happened way earlier, because then at least people
the show could have saved itself. Yeah. If they started being more serious. Like, we keep bringing up the comparison to Fresh Prince. Like, Fresh Prince had a bunch of super serious episodes, like not like every episode, probably like on average one a season, probably.
Well, it was kind of like the Cosby Show, where if it wasn't a full on very special episode, many episodes ended with a message. Like a really strong message. And I thought Blossom was going to, my memory of Blossom is that it did that, but I think I was just thinking of Fresh Prince and Blossom was like on after it or in the same.
The wires in your brain got crossed because there was that one episode of Blossom where Fresh Prince was in it.
Yeah.
It's all the same show all of a sudden.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm extremely stupid.
What's a rhetorical question?
I
did like, sorry, if we could go back to Joey, the like peak Joey in this episode was, so after Nick kept asking the rhetorical questions and Joey was answering them and Nick got upset and left, Joey goes to like Carol, he's like dad keeps asking me these questions and I answer them, and then he tells me he doesn't want me to answer them, and Carol goes, oh Joey, like, don't blame yourself. He's like, I'm blaming dad. I like that, because like it's very obvious he was blame, like Carol was the dumb one there. Like, he's like clearly just blaming his dad for doing this every time he asks a question.
And that's fair. If you're that stupid, is fair. And you're just having problems, I think Joey needs a tutor. I think Joey needs a life tutor.
Absolutely, he does.
So that was, I guess there's that was no another lesson episode. In this episode. No the lesson. Well, it's not really a lesson in so much as it's a
PSA. Stand up for yourself.
Yeah, stand up for yourself.
And that, well, yeah, the PSA at the end that Maya Bialik gives is just like, yeah, if you know anyone, like if this has happened to you,
if you have the ability to tell somebody about abuse, tell somebody about abuse. And I'm not saying that like it's a lesson from the show. I'm saying that also to anybody that's listening.
Yeah, tell me, tell Jason.
Yeah, you can confide in somebody. Somebody will be able to help you more often than not. No drugs, no fucking Tony.
No Tony. Tony's. Tony watch? No Tony.
The drug watch has been turned into weird. Tony,
if Joey turned back up in this episode after like a 4-episode absence.
That's true. And
yeah, I think he's in next episode, because I think I saw him and Shelly in the thumbnail for the next episode.
Sweet. In my opinion, this episode has the spirit of the Blossom that I thought Blossom had. And it's been too long since we've had a very special episode like this. So,
I mean, having. Yeah, in my opinionation, I mean, I did read ahead. I knew somewhat was coming. Like, I didn't read a detailed, like, script of the episode. I just knew, like, Blossom went on a date and then she got abused. And, like, that was the plot of the episode. I actually expected it to be worse. I shouldn't have, because, like, there's been nothing even close to this serious up until this point. Like, I think the most serious one was the gun one. What happened at the end of that? Did that guy kill himself?
He had an accident with the gun. I don't even think he had an accident with that. I don't think it was full-on, like, accident. Suicide. I think he had an accident with a gun, and that's how Vinny revealed that he had an accident with a gun. Right. I don't even think they implied that he was dead either.
Right.
Just he had an accident with a gun.
I forget what I was saying. Oh, yeah. I expected the date to go worse. Not that this was good, but... I thought the R word was going to happen. I thought that's what was coming. But, see, nope, just got hit a bit in the
face. I watched Blossom as a kid. I would remember if there was an episode that was the R word. I do remember a sexual assault episode. So I think that was this. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't sexual assault. It was just assault on the way to sexual assault, I guess. Like they never got to the sexual part, really.
I would say that by modern day standards of it, that was sexual assault. He kept going. She said no multiple times. It's sexual assault.
And then she got hit. Yeah,
and, and he punched her. So I mean,
but he didn't punch her on her genitals.
No, thank you for clarifying. This is a court of law, so. James Marsden did nothing wrong.
James Marsden did nothing wrong except for the line about dragging her to the backseat like the Flintstones.
That was fucked. Anyway,
that was fucked.
This has been another episode of Blossom Buddies. Yeah, thanks for staying. I've been Jason. Thanks for staying into overtime. You can find us on social media. Five episodes to go after this.
Yep, five more episodes.
Let's get nuts. Next,
you want to get nuts? Come on.
Let's get nuts. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
Never dance with the rhubarb in the nuts.
Next week, we'll be discussing Tim Burton's classic 1989 Batman.
Starring Batman.
Jack Nicholson. Starring the Joker and Batman and Hello Legs. I can't remember Kim Basinger's character's name.
All right, I'm ending this podcast.